We're also joined by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
Governor Raimondo, I'm sure you're concerned about how there's been a recent slump in the state's revenue from gambling, one of the state's largest revenue sources. There's heightened competition from Massachusetts, and some people believe that slot revenue will trend down into the future because millennials play slots at a lower percentage than older Rhode Islanders. What is the state's strategy for overcoming that?
So I am concerned. Of course, I'm concerned. You have to be. That is, in fact, part of the reason we worked so hard to get the sports betting app on a phone. You know, just today we were very focused on making it available for the first Patriots game, and we'll hit that deadline. But we have to start to be innovative and move more betting to the phone and more mobile apps if we're going to continue to capture this sort of revenue. I was also very disappointed in Twin River in their results. We've known for a very long time that Encore was coming, and they, particularly in table games, you know, the table games is where they really had a drop. It's almost as if they did nothing to plan for it and said Encore is here. So we've asked Twin River for a corrective action plan because the competition is there, and we have to get more creative to compete.
You talk about sports betting, and virtually everyone has a smartphone, so we can understand why the state is promoting that. But that the state's booking about $22 million this year from sports betting. That's a small fraction of the money that comes from the video lottery terminals at Twin River's two facilities. So what is the answer if that...
Well, I'm sorry. I guess my point is we have to do more on the phone. So that was the first step to mobile betting, but we need to continue to look at other kinds of mobile betting and other kinds of technology to capture the interest of younger people.
Will that be sufficient to make up for losses in slot machines?
I hope so. You know, that's what we need to continue to be innovative. And again, you know, Twin River is a hospitality company. There are other things to be done. It's a music venue. There are restaurants. We have to get creative to be competitive.
Let's go to Scott.
Maybe we have to do better than the Four Tops Farewell Tour. Maybe get some entertainment
exactly.
That appeals to a younger generation.
That's exactly my point. I mean, freshen it up and have... different. It's a venue. Young people will want entertainment, so provide that entertainment.
One thing that I'm interested in, though, is I think this IGT Twin River thing is largely a sideshow compared to this overarching problem we have. Is there really a saturation of gambling in New England? I look at Foxwoods being off 9%. You look at the MGM, that glitzy new casino in Springfield. Not living up to projections nearly. We're looking at what's happening in Rhode Island. We've seen with Twin River. Are we just oversaturated in this market? And if so, why don't you set up a commission of smart people from the industry and maybe some people from politics to take a look at how we confront this challenge? Because obviously it's such a big part of our budget. We need to be serious about it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, experts will say no, because I asked the same question to the experts. Are we saturated? They say no. They will show you the trends. We have to do things differently. Young people want different kinds of gambling, different kinds of entertainment than older generations. But if you look at the trends, they say absolutely not, that there is not a saturation point and there is demand. But the results are concerning, and we are definitely going to have more scrutiny of Twin River because these results are disappointing, and we need to see a plan from them to account for the changes in the economy.
You had fewer of your priorities funded by the legislature this year. Will that change how you approach the General Assembly when the new session starts in January and how you make your next budget?
I don't think so. You know, I think that I was disappointed. I thought they took a real step backwards in a number of the initiatives that came out of the House's budget. I don't understand the logic of cutting job training programs. You know, we live in a world where people need to be trained to get good jobs. That particular job training program has employed over 5,000 people. There's a highly risky, highly expensive new program to give tax incentives to out-of-state investors. I don't see the logic in spending Rhode Island taxpayer money on that. So I thought in many ways the budget was kind of backsliding. You know, a return to the old way of doing things. I can't support that. I won't support that. I will put in a budget that I think is in the best interest of Rhode Island. and fight for it. And then what the legislature does, that's what the legislature does.
You came back just a couple months ago trying to intervene into the talks between Lifespan and Care New England to put them together to have a Rhode Island-based academic medical system, as you maintain. Obviously, that didn't work. Something crashed and burned. Why? Was it the usually Lifespan was the roadblock here? What was the problem?
No, I would say that is not true. Lifespan came to the table in a very collaborative fashion. I was very disappointed.
What do you think was the holdup?
We just couldn't come to terms. I think that, you know...
Was it money?
No, there was no one thing. There was no one thing. As with all complicated deals, often there are disagreements over who should run the combined entity. We've seen that before. I think it's disappointing, but I give Lifespan a lot of credit because they were terrific throughout the process.
The legislature did not go along with your proposal to legalize and regulate recreational marijuana. Will you propose that again next year?
I haven't decided, but I'm inclined to. In fact, in my discussions with the Senate president last year, you know, they made an excellent point, which is let's expand medical, you know, one more step, regulate that, learn how to regulate that properly as a, like, next stepping stone to legalization for adult use. I haven't decided yet, and I want to talk to some more people, but I think probably.
You know, Massachusetts has approved legislation to allow undocumented immigrants to have driver's licenses. I know years back that you were for this, and then you kind of dropped this as one of your priorities. This is now going to Governor Baker's desk. What do you think? If they approve this, would you be willing to bring this back up in Rhode Island?
I would. I support it as strongly as I ever have. We put in legislation every year. Leadership, particularly House leadership, has indicated no interest in it. So, you know, this to me, it's a public safety issue. You're not giving, it doesn't confer any citizenship. You know, you talk to the colonel of the state police. They say you want everybody on the road who's driving to have a license and insurance. I'm for it. I'm still for it. The legislature is very opposed.
Your administration provided only a small amount of documents in response to a public records request from the Providence Journal concerning...
A small amount? There were boxes and boxes. There were so many, they had to come over, put them in their car. It was almost 2,000 pages.
Okay, well, there were many documents that were not released.
Dozens were not released. Thousands were released.
Steve Brown from the ACLU says it would have been in the public interest to release more documents. Is he wrong?
Yes.
And this is concerning communication between your staff and IGT about the proposed agreement between the state and IGT. Why is Steve Brown wrong?
Because we have been incredibly transparent. We've given over 1,000 documents. It's all out in the public. I'm not teasing. Like, they came over in their car. There were so many boxes, they had to take them away. We're for transparency. I hope people read them. This is a good deal. It is a good deal. It's a good deal for taxpayers. It's a $25 million upfront cash payment, and it saves 1,100 jobs. And there's 1,300 pages that people should go through if they want to.
You're chair of the Democratic Governors Association right now. Do you think Joe Biden or another Democrat would have the best shot of beating President Trump next year?
We'll see. Well, we'll let the. I'm staying out of it now. As you said, I'm the chair. So as long as I'm the chair, I'm not endorsing. It's a long process, and we'll have to see. With each passing day, I become more worried about the prospect of President Trump being reelected. So whoever is our nominee, I'm going to get behind them with gusto.
All right. That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo.
Thank you. Have a great day.